Sitting here in the Wave Farm studio right now is Ken Seth Armstead. Welcome, Ken Seth.
Thank you.
You live both in South Cairo and is it Brooklyn?
Yes, it's true. And thank you for having me. I'm really honored to be here.
Well, we are honored to have you too. And we want to hear a little bit about your participation in Groundswell this year. And I guess, but give us a little background about yourself before you do that.
I'm an artist. I've been making work in sculpture, installation, video art, and last few years I was doing a series of drawings, but in general in the last 10 years I was making a project about a hero during the American Revolution, James Armistead Lafayette, who was a slave but also became a spy and basically gave the information that helped end the war for George Washington. The piece I'm doing for Groundswell follows from that and is not specifically related to James Armistead Lafayette, but sort of comes out of the American Revolution era in the materials that I've chosen to make it with, both tar, feathers, and then a more modern material, which is symbolic, but that is aluminum.
And so is the setting at Olana, which certainly like is in the middle of the American Revolution setting, I guess, Saratoga to the north, where Benedict Arnold won a battle, and then West Point to the south, where Benedict Arnold, I think, got arrested, where the treason happened or whatever. But the West Point was the major point in the war that Washington was defending to try to, and the British were trying to cut off New England from the rest of the colonies. And so is that part of your piece? Is about the setting of the American Revolution? Or?
No, my work is for Groundswell is more about the site itself. And in general, you know, I look at as an artist, you're trying to interact with what Church himself has done as a landscape architect. My work in the last 10 years has been about the American Revolution, but specifically the last 3 months of the war where James was a spy. So, funnily enough, James did actually spy and spied on Benedict Arnold for Washington, etc. But
so he was in New York?
Yeah. Not in New York, but as I can't exactly remember what the location was, but he did actually spy. His first job was to spy on Arnold as in the South. So the point I'm trying to get to is that for Olana, I look at the Olana and the landscape of Olana as a site where, you know, the American dream is personified, that you can find a space and kind of shape it as you will. Church and the Hudson River School painters are artists who looked at America and gave people an idea of what this thing was, or even that they could desire it. And the Olana landscape, as designed by Church to fulfill that, have a lot to do with the idea of manifest destiny, that we would one day be a country that would span from coast to coast. So Olana is a kind of launching point for an American idea.
You're standing on that giant ridge looking west. And
you're thinking, wow, that is some good booty.
Yeah, that is it's quite a view from up there.
And it's bountiful.
Yes.
And that image as a base, that there's just this rich, lush landscape. Church and his compatriots, both landscape architects and also fellow painters, sort of gave that idea into the imagination of the American people, even though it was decades and decades after the American Revolution. But the notion of manifest destiny only predates the landscape architecture at Olana by, say, a scant 30, 40 years. So the idea of this space being pregnant, that it gave birth to this notion that we were going to expand, we were going to grow, we could hold this space and time, is sort of central to what I think Olana is. That and the idea that, and this gets back to my sculpture, that Olana itself as an architectural site in the building itself is a bunch of different languages architecturally, Persian, Islamic, sort of Far Eastern architecture that Church himself didn't understand, but kind of recombined to make this beautiful pastiche.
It seems to make sense. It doesn't seem to make sense actually at first, and then, but it does seem to make sense kind of.
Well, I think of it, and this is where I think it comes close to the sculptural, where Church made Olana. It's like almost, and this goes to Church itself, like I've been in these churches, I grew up in the church, in these gospel churches, and there are people who get ecstasy in church, and they feel religion in a way, and they start speaking in tongues. They don't know what they said, you don't know what they said, but they're not making fun of language and they're not making fun of God. They're worshiping God somehow in a way that they themselves don't know that they're doing. And this is how I feel about Olana. And so in a reaction to that, I didn't want to make something that was very specific. It is specifically in relation, but it also is abstract. It also is something that is symbolic, but not understandable in a very straightforward way. So, and I think that it took me a long time to sort of get my head around the aesthetics of Olana, both the landscape that he remade and also the landscape that he made in the house, the architecture that he made in the house. All of it together does add up to a very sort of confusing mystery. But then, you know, mystery is part of the beauty of life. I mean, we certainly can't understand even our place and even how infinitesimally small we are in the universe that we are in. I mean, that's something you can't even conceive. So in this way, I think Olana is, you know, his ode to an Eastern experience that he probably wasn't even himself able to fathom.
And I don't want you to give out too much of the mystery yourself, but because some of the people coming out to Groundswell Saturday, September 13th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Olana State Historic Site will want to figure it out themselves. But tell us a bit about the sculpture that you're making in this. I guess you have some long, thin aluminum tubes and...
I couldn't tell you what it means myself at this point because I'm at the first part of a series called Founding Farther, which obviously comes out of the Founding Fathers. But in this moment in the American Revolution where I discovered all these African soldiers who fought in the revolution that I never knew about, specifically James Armistead Lafayette, I started to then, after 10 years of making work specifically about them, I started to want to know more about, you know, the feeling. And so the sculpture comes from that feeling. And then that feeling also relates very much to the feeling of Olana. I think that obviously with the American Revolution, with Olana, and with the idea that Church and Olmsted and Vaux made this term landscape architecture, something that never existed before, you have to account for the modern. And the modern is something that breaks with history. So for me, there are materials that I'm using that are purely historical, tar, feathers, and these are punishment materials from the American Revolution. And they also sort of delineate, you know, what is right and what is wrong. But then you have to account for the new. So there has to be some new substance. So the aluminum is the new substance. And many things could be that, but I'm making a sculpture and I like aluminum. Aluminum is good. Aluminum is good. That's it.
So does the sculpture have a name or?
So the sculpture is called Heresy Hearsay. And obviously either heresy or hearsay could get you into a lot of trouble or liberate you, depending on which side of the fence you are on, whether it's heresy or hearsay or whether or not you're in favor of what is said or against what is said. So the sculpture doesn't say what's said. The sculpture is what's said. Olana doesn't say what's said, actually, because there's lots of calligraphy in Olana, but it's all made up. It's all script that looks like calligraphy, but can't be read. So neither can my sculpture, but at the same time, it's a good reflection of a kind of uneasy relationship that we have with both history, the Founding Fathers, the American Dream, and the utopia that we live in. And I use the term utopia tongue-in-cheek.
And it sounds like your sculpture is going to be the kind of a reflection of the pastiche of Olana and also that giant view, that destiny about what was going to happen in American history.
Well, I could only hope that, and I could only hope that it's that as people see it, they get a glimpse of something that gives them emotion. And I think that if you can't read something like Olana itself, then obviously your response to it has to be on some symbolic or emotional level. And I think that's really the only purpose of art. I mean, I've made a lot of political art, but and when I say political art about history or about topics I spent a lot of time making work on the Nation of Islam and Malcolm X. And at that time, no one knew anything about the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, etc. But by making art about it, I sort of created a space where people could consume this and see it for what it was, both good and bad. And I think that in the idealization of architecture, the idealization of space, which Alana is, sometimes you forget that there's also there's an uneasiness about it, that there's, you know, that nature itself cannot be perfected. Nature is nature. And landscape architecture, despite being a way of sort of giving us a way to walk around and deal with nature to our own needs, aesthetic or utilitarian, it can be uneasy. Sometimes you can, you know, you can oversculpt or undersculpt. And I hope that people see my sculpture in that way, that it's both beautiful, but also that it can be seen and interpreted both beautifully and aesthetically, but also kind of critically, that it is in space and it is dynamic, that it provokes emotion.
All right. We have already run out of our time. We're talking to Ken Seth Armstead, who has a sculpture in Groundswell Saturday, September 13th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Alana State Historic Site. I guess you want to sum up, what do you hope people get out of the experience or experiencing your sculpture at Groundswell?
I hope that they get a great way to both see sculpture and also to a new way of seeing the architecture or objects in that architecture. And I think also Alana in and of itself is a beautiful site that should be enjoyed and seen, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there is any one thing. I mean, actually, I'm going to back away from trying to find any one thing at all. I don't think there's any one way to see Alana. I don't think there's any one way to see my sculpture.
You want people to take what they will.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, in terms of, I don't want people to see my sculpture as idealized, and I don't want them to see my sculpture as simply a beautiful object. I want them to see it as both working for and against the environment. And I think that that's always the key when we're working in large scale, that we're both working for, but there's a very tempting line where we're constantly on a precipice of overdoing it. And that is, you know, and that's the key of how it is that we sort of do this dance in our natural environs.
All right, and the piece is called Heresy Hearsay?
Heresy Hearsay.
And you want to give out a website address if anybody wants to find out more information about you, Ken Seth Armstead?
They could go to my website, which is kensetharmstead.com, or if they want to know about James Armistead Lafayette and his spy work during the American Revolution, spook1781.com. But kensetharmstead.com is kensetharmstead.com.
And I believe there's a link at the WGXC website, too, if you want to find out more about Groundswell. There's more information there, too. All right, Ken Seth Armstead, thank you so much for stopping by the Wave Farm today.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a real pleasure.
All right, great.